Who is it? Ted Bundy supposedly gave his life to the Lord in prison, like in his dying moment. Do you believe he went to heaven or not? And if you believe in the God I do, then yes.
What's worse, to say Ted Bundy went to heaven, or to say, hey, how's your relationship with Jesus? Mm-hmm. And they say, I need to be better.
Yeah.
What's worse?
Yeah.
One's radical, one's common.
Yeah.
One's radical, and one has nothing to do with Jesus.
Yeah.
One has to do with your own performance.
You know, me and you have talked about this. Like, I think that thing with, like, go and sin no more is you should not sin, and that should always be the case. Don't sin. You're ever in a situation, sin or not, don't sin. That's the thing. And because you have the Spirit, you 100% can go with to not sin. So don't think that it's impossible to go an entire life, to go the rest of your life not sinning, because it is. But
it's radical, bro.
But the only thing there, it would be people's question of like, well, then if I do sin after giving my life to the Lord, am I still a believer?
Paul, literally, bro, you're about to get me fired up. Like, we're about to get into it, because Paul, I read this commentary on Romans 7,
mm-hmm.
and people think that Paul from Romans 7, for I do not do what I know I should, and I do the very thing I hate, is speaking to a non-believer or somebody, or Paul before Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Paul before Jesus was killing Christians, and he didn't have no moral dilemma about it.
Yeah.
He boasted in his zeal in the upholding of the law and his ability to uphold the law. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, yeah, of the tribe of Benjamin, perfect, blameless under the law. He boasted in his ability before Jesus. He had no moral dilemma. So then in Romans 7, he says, for I do not do what I know I should, but I keep doing the very thing as I hate. Beginning in Romans 7:1, it says, for I speak to those who know the law. For someone to have a moral dilemma, mm-hmm, about their sin means that they have an awareness of grace. So he's speaking, and how I know this to be true too is in my own life. Who do you actually see not doing what they know they should and doing the very thing they hate? Christians.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So that means that it's the church that this is the biggest issue in, not non-believers,
yeah,
not unchristians.
Which is all of his letters.
Which is all of his letters. The whole context of Galatians, uh-huh, is to a church who saw Christ crucified. They saw Christ crucified with their own eyes, but then they seem to have been adulterating in cheating on grace with love. Galatians 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You who start in the Spirit, you're not being perfected by the flesh. So the symptom or the cure, well, I don't know what you were about to say, but that just got me fired up about, like, yeah, it's Christians who have it. But I believe Paul, another assumption is Paul, people believe Paul was talking about his own experience,
mm,
as a believer.
Yeah.
What he's actually speaking to is the symptom of you who are adulterating with grace. Because that's what Romans 7:1-6 says. For what is a woman who is married and then she goes and lives with another man?
Uh-huh.
She's an adulteress. But if that woman in the law, if her husband dies, you're free to marry another man, free from shame and guilt.
Mm-hmm.
You're blameless. Go marry another man if your husband dies. Likewise, you have died to the law, so you're free to be under a new covenant. You're free to be married to another under the grace of God. And so Paul's saying, those of you who do not do what you know you should, and those of you who keep doing the very thing you hate, actually are agreeing with the law that it is good. That's Romans 7:16. For you agree,
yeah, yeah,
with the law that it is good. That's what it says verbatim. For if you do not do what you know you should and you do the very thing you hate, you agree with the law that it's good. But last time I checked, we don't agree with the law that it's good.
Yeah.
Paul literally just spent 8 verses telling us we are under a new covenant. Mm. That's not the law. It's not a, if you do this, then you're righteous. It's a, you are righteous, yeah, because I love you and I've given it to you freely.
Yeah.
So then because you don't actually believe that, you are displaying a fruit of cyclist natures of your sin in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, what Tim Keller said, a picture of that is the Israelites,
yeah,
crossing the Red Sea, but they're free because literally the sentence of death and slavery that was against them was wiped away by the water, which, mm-hmm, the parallels, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the Egyptians were killed.
Yeah.
They literally, they can't even become slaves again if they wanted to, because Pharaoh literally died in the water enveloped the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
Yet in their heart, they actually still feel like slaves.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is imagine if we actually believed what is true about us in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if the Israelites, when they were free from the Egyptians, actually believed that they were free from slavery.
Okay, yeah.
Why, if the Egyptians died, did they say, have this bitterness in their spirit, and why are they still acting like slaves? That's the million-dollar question. Why, as Christians, though we're free and bought back by the blood of Jesus, do we still act like slaves? The only answer is a belief. The truth will set you free, to bring it full circle. How ridiculous is it to say, I'm acting like a slave, but literally the Egyptians who were coming after me are dead. Likewise, why am I feeling guilt, shame, and condemnation and still falling into sin when that sin has no power over me? Because 1 Corinthians 15:56, the power of sin is the law. The only way sin has power over me is if I believe God's more pleased with me if I don't do it.
Yeah.
The only way sin has power over you is if you believe that you will receive righteousness from doing that
or from not doing that.
So how crazy is it that if we actually believed the fundamental gospel, that is, God loved me and made me righteous because he loved me and he didn't want me to be in bondage no more.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answers the exact question we're talking about, but it's like, I guess that answers why, the right question is why.
Well, it's the gospel. It's the gospel. I think people's fear my belief, I guess, is still just that you're still saved, you know, but you just are believing a lie. But then the argument would be like, what lie are you believing? And that kind of what you're saying would be like, well, you're believing the lie that you're not saved from death.
Which would mean that Christian would say that today.
Wouldn't that then mean you don't believe in the finished work on the cross, which means you're not saved?
No, I wouldn't go. I think where I fall on that would be is Jesus's heart. He's always giving.
Yeah.
He's compassionate.
Yeah, yeah.
Tim Keller said in that podcast, he said, it wasn't about the quality of your faith that saved
the
Israelites. It was who they put their faith in. Some people walk through the Red Sea. Oh, God, I'm going to die. And some people walk through like, oh, my gosh, look at my God.
Yeah.
And they're not scared at all.
Yeah.
So the people that were scared weren't saved? No. Everyone's saved because they put their faith in the trust of Jesus. But the heart of the Lord is that they would, that was to be to say that was the Galatian church and the Roman church not saved? They believed in Jesus. Their heart was affectionate toward Jesus, but you're living in bondage. Like, let's get free.
Yeah.
Like,
so that's the thing is you can still believe. That's the tension we live in. You can still believe you've been set free, but you can believe all of these white lies by the accuser that you should do this still, though, or this will still make things better or whatever. You fall short. / you also just mature and you learn what.
And that's what I was saying also in the podcast. It's okay. That's not to say we're not going to slip up because there's like degrees of freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously you heard it, but
yeah. Well, that's what I was trying to say too, is like, obviously, and that's the thing is people are like, they hear that you're like, oh, well, were you sure you were saved at 8? I had this question too. Are you sure you're saved at 8? And like, we could talk about it, but it's like, yeah, I am. Like somebody told me about Jesus and they said, all you had to do was believe in him. Romans says all you have to do is believe in him. I believed in him. And then I always did. I still tried to chase like things of the world every once in a while, make some dumb mistakes, but I was 8 years old and now I'm 24. And like, there's just things you learn at 15, 17, and so on to get you to a different point in life. But whether I believed Jesus died for my sins or not didn't change.
So you like, know how it's really real? How I got free from pornography? For sin will have no dominion over you since you are not under law, but you're under grace.
Yeah.
By the law, if I struggle with pornography, I'm not righteous. If I'm under grace, I can watch pornography every day and I'm righteous still.
Yeah. Use that as a cop-out. And I think that's what like the church wants to know. Well, I think everybody kind of wants to know, like, then what do I do?
Let's talk about it. Put the mic up.
The hard thing I have with putting these kind of conversations on a mic is just that I don't want somebody to think I'm doubting, but I'm not going to shy away from these questions that people have.
Ask it, let me answer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, these are just like questions you think about as a believer. How do we not use that as a cop-out? That's like an endless question. Everybody always is like, yeah, because the truth would be, who is it Ted Bundy supposedly gave his life to the Lord in prison, like in his dying moment? Do you believe he went to heaven or not? And if you believe in the God I do, then yes.
But to say, like, this is a hypothetical situation that's very extreme.
Mm-hmm.
What's worse, to say Ted Bundy went to heaven, or to say, hey, do you, like, how's your relationship with Jesus? Mm-hmm. And they say, I need to be better.
Yeah.
What's worse?
Yeah. Yeah.
One's radical, one's common.
Yeah.
Like,
I need to do better. I mean,
one's radical and one has nothing to do with Jesus.
Yeah.
One has to do with your own performance.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm telling you, bro. This is the fundamental gospel. Well, also, I would say if someone would say, I'm forgiven and God's grace covers me, so now I can go do whatever I want, they also don't know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because that has nothing to do with being loved. That's a get out of jail. That's obligation, right? Mm-hmm. And I would say they really don't have faith in Jesus. They have faith in an idea,
mm-hmm.
a theology.
Yeah.
When you realize, when it becomes personal and a man came down from heaven and paid my debt for me, and you believe that he did it from love too,
mm-hmm.
that I was actually supposed to die for watching pornography, but Jesus died for me so that now I can be free and righteous and actually live in heaven forever, that's love. And mm-hmm. you realize that something supernatural happens in people's hearts when they believe that,
mm-hmm.
and they begin to bear fruit for righteousness. Because when you focus on behavior, it never produces fruit.
Yeah.
Wow, I need to stop watching pornography. You never can stop watching pornography.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I want to be free from anger. You fixate on anger, you just keep getting more angry. Why is that? It's because when you focus, Romans 7:5, for sin is aroused by the law. Law is a system of do's and don'ts that you, when you focus on the love of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
that, wow, seek first the kingdom of heaven and righteousness and all things will be added to you. When you think I'm loved and I'm cherished,
yeah,
you actually bear fruit. Keenan posted about it today. He said the only way to actually bear fruit for righteousness is you fall in love with Jesus and you forget about sinning.
Mm-hmm.
The law, the explanation of that is Romans 6-8.
Yeah,
like I used to think that was a silly cop out statement.
Yeah.
But Romans 7 says, when you focus on behavior, that's the very thing that puts you in the cycle to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was that thing that we talked about? I was sharing with you and Eric that I heard, like, if somebody was to go their whole life without sinning, they would never realize that they went without sinning.
Yeah, like the disciples, I don't think we're talking about this.
Yeah, well, it's like the whole life, if they went their whole life without sinning, they would never realize they weren't sinning because they were... Only thing they were realizing was Jesus and was placing, it was their faith. So they had their eyes on Jesus the whole time. That person would be walking by faith, not by sight. And the second they tried to go by sight would be they're looking at behavior, like behavior modification. How can I stop doing what I'm doing or whatever? Because I need to stop doing what I'm doing. No, if you just are so focused in on your faith, which is that there's a God who loved you so much that he sent his son, and now you can walk with that son.
So likewise with the, for me, that for pornography was I could watch it every single day,
mm-hmm.
and God would not love me less.
Yeah.
That's the Bible, Romans 5:8. I always misquote it. I always say Romans 5:9 on accident. Christ died for me while I was
sinning. Because that's how tall you are?
Because I'm not 5'9", I'm 6'5".
But it doesn't matter.
6'5", you can't tell.
Doesn't matter, not one's not better than the other.
Christ died for me while I was a sinner.
Yeah.
means that Christ's love for me was perfect before I ever did one good thing for him means like I have all of his love. Yeah. I have 100% of his love. He's not reserving 10% of his love for me once I then
tied. He didn't die for some of your sins.
He didn't die. He died for my sin. I mean, I all have of all of his love before I ever did one good thing. So when you say I'm free, what freed me from pornography was knowing I could do it every day and I'm not loved. If you actually believe that, you'll stop watching pornography.
Yeah.
So it's not that. So you can say, so shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's not the same question. Mm-mm. It's, wow, I am righteous, though my behavior says I'm not. I'm righteous because of something else.
Yeah.
That revelation will never lead you into sin. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know why. It's a soup. It transcends this earth. Look at that. Look at that. That's the Holy Spirit right
there. Keep preaching.
It transcends this earth, truthfully. I mean, it's not something that you can say logically makes sense. But that is the testimony of every Christian who has ever found freedom. Ask somebody who, I mean, no one ever found freedom doing it another way, because that's the gospel. And it's radical. And I challenge the people listening who like get offended by it. There's greater measures of the love of Jesus available for you, because I think at the root of it, you still believe something has to do with your own actions.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy,
insane.
I'm done now.
Yeah, I was saying, I'm just getting